Good morning. Welcome to our worship service today. We begin with a prayer to our God and Savior. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we gather here today once again to hear your word and to worship and praise your holy name. Grant that we may be strengthened in our faith and our love for you by your holy word. Give us the comfort of knowing that you are our leader and our good shepherd, and because of this we have nothing to fear, but we can know and trust that you work everything in our lives according to your plan and for our good. Hear us and bless us for your name's sake, dear Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Our first hymn for today is Church of God, Elect and Glorious. Please rise. I invite you to follow along with our order of service that's printed for you in your service bulletin. We begin on the top of page 3. We begin this worship service in the name of the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we confess that we are sinful by nature and have sinned against You in our thoughts, words, and actions. We have not loved You above all things. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. Have mercy on us, and for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, forgive us our sins. Jesus Christ is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. We are forgiven. With boldness and confidence, now we may approach God's throne to find grace to help in our time of need. In the joy and peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. We pray. Dear Heavenly Father, though we do not deserve Your goodness, still You provide for all of our needs of both body and soul. Grant us Your Holy Spirit that we may acknowledge Your gifts, give thanks for all Your benefits, and serve You willingly in love all of our days. We pray this through the same Jesus Christ, Your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our first reading for this morning is from Jeremiah chapter 23. We read verses 1 through 6. In these verses from Jeremiah, we see the Lord speaking against shepherds who are turning His people away from God and His word. God here promises to send true shepherds who would follow His word, and even promises to send the good shepherd, Jesus Christ, who would be the Lord, our righteousness. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who care for my people. You have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for your evil deeds, declares the Lord. Then I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will set shepherds over them who will care for them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, nor shall any be missing, declares the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called, the Lord is our righteousness. Our second reading for today is from Ephesians chapter 2. We read verses 13 through 22. Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. The word of God reminds us that Jesus came as the Prince of Peace. He came to bring peace in a spiritual sense, not just between us and God, which is the greatest spiritual peace he's given us, but also between fellow believers. And here in Paul's writing, he reminds us that Jesus came to bring peace between Jewish and Gentile Christians. Whether we are from the bloodline of Abraham or not, we are in God's family. That wall of separation between us and God and between us and fellow believers has been knocked down because of Jesus' work for us on the cross. Paul writes, "But now in Christ Jesus, you," and he's speaking there of the Gentile Christians in Ephesus, "you Gentiles who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. By abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in the place of two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you are also being built together in a dwelling place for God by the Spirit." Here ends our scripture readings. Praise to you, O Christ. Please rise. Let's join now in confessing our faith in the one true triune God with the words of the Apostles' Creed, printed on page 5 in your bulletin. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. We continue with our next hymn, Hope of the World. Please rise. Grace to you and peace. In the name of our Savior Jesus, who is our good shepherd and our leader, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from the Gospel of Mark. We read from chapter 6, verses 30 through 34. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. I once read a quote regarding leadership by a man who'd written a number of books on leadership, and the quote said this: "A leader is one who knows the way, goes the way, and shows the way." I like that quote. I like that definition of leadership. I want you to think about that definition of leadership as we consider this text for our sermon today. And I want you to think about that quote: "A leader is one who knows the way, goes the way, and shows the way," as we consider the question that makes up our sermon theme for today, which is, who is your leader? Who is my leader? It's an important question to ask as we examine our lives, isn't it? Whoever or whatever it is that is leading you, guiding you, directing you along your path of life, had better know the right way to go, had better be able to show you how to get that way as well. We can answer that question, who is your leader or who is my leader, in an infinite number of ways. But there really is only one right answer. Now, what is the way that we often live out the answer to that question? Who is your leader or who is my leader? Who or what is it that's leading, guiding, and directing you and me? Well, the answer can also often be summed up with just one word, and that is me. Who is leading and guiding and directing me? Well, it's me. Me and my desires are usually what guides and directs my life, and therefore I am my own leader. That's how we human beings tend to be by nature. That's how we are by nature. We think we know what is best. We do what we want to do. And often for no better reason than it just feels good or it makes me happy right now. We try and put ourselves in control of our lives and we think that we are the captains of our own destinies. We are the ones who are steering our own ship. But is that actually true? And is that really a good idea? How do we match up with that definition of a leader from the beginning of our sermon? Do we and our desires always know the right way? Do we always go the right way? And do we always show the right way to others? And the answer, of course, is obviously no, we don't always do that. We are broken and flawed people. Our desires are corrupted by our sinful nature. We do not by nature know the way, go the way, or show the way that is right for us or best for us. Remember what the Bible compares us to. What animal does the Bible often compare us to? It is, of course, sheep. Sheep are dependent animals. They need constant guidance. If they don't receive guidance from a good, caring leader, they are prone to just wander aimlessly toward harm or even death. Sheep can be very foolish. They don't have a lot of defenses. They're almost completely defenseless. No claws, no fangs. They're very self-destructive animals. So ask yourself, would you really want a sheep for your leader? Would you want a sheep steering your ship, guiding and directing your life? Have you ever seen those bumper stickers or license plate frames? They were pretty popular back in the 80s. So for some of you, this is like ancient history, but there were these bumper stickers and these license plate frames that I would see all over town when I was growing up that said this: if God, or God is my co-pilot. I remember reading that even as a child, I was like, that's kind of a strange thing. God is my co-pilot. And then I remember many years later seeing a response to that that I thought was really good. It said, if God is your co-pilot, you need to switch seats. Is God our co-pilot? Is Jesus our pilot? Does the famous hymn say, Jesus, Savior, co-pilot me? Or does it say, Jesus, Savior, pilot me? Does he have that driver's seat in our lives, the pilot seat? Or do we try and wrestle that wheel away from him and say, Jesus, you sit over there. You advise me, but I'm going to steer this life. Well, another mistake we often make is trying to make, maybe not ourselves our leader, but we try to maybe make someone else our leader. And sometimes we can do this without even realizing it. Take a look in our text at the people who were flocking to see Jesus. Look especially at verse 34. When Jesus saw this great crowd, it says, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. These people were desperate for guidance. They needed direction. They are compared to sheep by Mark in this section of verses in Mark's gospel. They needed direction, and many of them gathered in front of Jesus because they hoped to find that direction in Jesus. Notice Mark puts it this way: these people were like sheep without a shepherd. And yet the reality was they actually had many shepherds. Many of these people probably went to the synagogue on the Sabbaths, and they were probably taught by a number of rabbis and teachers of the law, the Pharisees, the scribes, other religious leaders. The problem was these so-called shepherds weren't giving them the guidance or the spiritual food that their souls actually needed. Their hearts, their minds, and their lives were not being pointed to a Savior from sin that would save them eternally, but rather they were being pointed to a earthly Messiah who would restore a powerful earthly kingdom and give them all kinds of earthly blessings. And unfortunately, when we read this account that happened afterwards in John's gospel, many of the people were troubled at this. This was too much for them, and they stopped following Jesus. They tried to make Jesus their bread king. They saw him as a miracle worker, but not necessarily as their Savior from sin. The religious leaders of Jesus' day were unfortunately much like the shepherds, the bad shepherds that Jeremiah described in our Old Testament reading. I read again those verses from Jeremiah chapter 23, where it says, woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who care for my people. You have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. There is nothing new under the sun. There are still many shepherds around today that will leave God's people scattered and directionless. They won't supply them the spiritual food of that pure gospel of Christ that our souls actually really desperately need. Like the people of our text, we too can follow those types of leaders without maybe even realizing it. That's why Jesus gives us many warnings to avoid them, to not follow those false teachers or false prophets. He says in Matthew chapter 7, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. So how do we avoid that? How do we know if the church we attend the preacher we hear or the book that we're reading is leading us in the right direction, and that we're not just following a bad shepherd, or even worse, following a wolf. Well, Jesus said in that same chapter, Matthew chapter 7, he says, "By your fruits you will know them." In other words, look at what they're doing, look at what they're teaching. Look at who they are being led by. Are they being led by Jesus and his word? What is the focus of their ministry? Is it earthly prosperity? Having a good life in the here and now? Is it on you achieving your potential, or you acquiring some miraculous, powerful spiritual gifts? Or is their focus on Jesus and his word? Is their focus on our good shepherd, our savior from sin, who gives up his life for the sheep? If it isn't, God's directions to us are very clear. Avoid them. If we place anyone or anything in the driver's seat of our lives, we are misguided. We are heading in the wrong direction. And so ourselves, our desires, our jobs, our spouse, our friends, our wealth, even our own family, if any of these are in the number one place in our life, leading and guiding us and directing us, then once again, we need to switch seats. Remember what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." When we seek God and his righteousness and his kingdom first, all those other things in life, those very important things, will fall into place. And so by God's grace, we do call Jesus our leader. He is our shepherd. Who else would we want leading, guiding, and directing our lives? And doesn't Jesus perfectly fit that definition of a leader? Think again of that definition from the beginning of the sermon. A leader is one who knows the way, goes the way, and shows the way. Jesus definitely knows the way. He not only knows it, he is it. Jesus himself said, "I am the way." He came from heaven as our good shepherd to take us to heaven and give us heaven by his sacrifice. Jesus once said, "I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." Jesus not only knows the way, he goes the way. He always did, and he still does the right thing and the best thing for us at all times. And he lived that perfect life in our place that we simply could not. And we see in our text just how tirelessly and how compassionate our leader, our good shepherd, is. Remember those words that said they didn't even have time to eat? They were so exhausted and so worn out from ministry, they had to go off by themselves, and the people still found them. And yet, what did Jesus do? Did he say, "Get out of here, people. I'm tired. I need a nap. Stay away from me." No, it says he had compassion on them. He literally reached out his heart to them. He suffered with them in their need. Jesus also saw us in our scattered, directionless life and was moved with compassion for us and brought us into his flock. So Jesus clearly knows the way, goes the way. He also shows the way. He showed compassion on those people, and what did he do for them? Our text ends with these words, "He began to teach them," this multitude of people, "many things." Luke's account of this in his gospel tells us what Jesus taught them. It says, "He taught them, spoke to them about the kingdom of God." He spoke to them about the way of salvation, how to be in and get to the kingdom of God, and that way was through him. In the same way, Jesus came to us and chose to be our good shepherd, to lead us through his word. And his gospel message of life and salvation through his sacrifice for our sins is what raised our dead hearts back to life and gives our new lives real purpose and direction. It is that gospel message that brings us into the very kingdom of God itself. Now, certainly Jesus has also blessed all of us in our lives by giving us various shepherds to guide us and help us in our spiritual lives. He's given us pastors, a word which means shepherd. He's also given us teachers, Christian parents, grandparents. He's given us Christian mentors and friends to lead us and guide us to Jesus. But these have all been under shepherds of Christ. There is one good shepherd. And it has been truly a great blessing to be the under shepherd that Christ has given, that has made me to give to you for the last 7.5 years. It's been a blessing to serve as that under shepherd under the good shepherd, Jesus Christ. It's been my desire and prayer that everything that I say and do would lead you and point you to your good shepherd. So each worship service and each Bible study, I strive to bring you his words, not my words. And as you already know, last Sunday I announced that I'll be serving a different flock in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, beginning in mid-October. But I also want to remind you today that you will not be left without a shepherd, even after I move. Not only am I confident in praying that the Lord would bring you a faithful pastor, a faithful shepherd, that he has prepared for you to help lead you and guide you into God's word, but I also want to remind you that your good shepherd, Jesus, will always be here. That will never change. And so I remind you and encourage all of you to go directly to our good shepherd. I remind myself to go to our good shepherd, hear his words for yourself from his word, the Bible. Let him lead you to the spiritual green pastures and the still waters that restore our souls. Only when we daily and continually hear his voice can we truly be led by him. May we always give Jesus the driver's seat to lead us in this life and the next. And may we always answer that question, who is your leader? And we always answer that with the one correct answer, Jesus. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. You may be seated. If you have an offering to give to the Lord today, we invite you to do so by placing it in the offering plate in the entryway of our church. We continue our service this morning with our next hymn, Savior, Like a Shepherd, Lead Us. Please rise. Prayers of the congregation are requested. First of all, for our Vacation Bible School this week, we pray the Lord's blessings on those efforts. We also continue to pray for our brother in Christ from our East Bay congregation, Jerry Dimple, who continues to recover from his knee surgery. He's getting a bit discouraged because his recovery is going very slowly and seems to have stagnated. So he asked for prayers for both of our congregations this weekend. Any other prayer requests for today? Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, you are the giver of every good and perfect gift. We give you thanks for all the children who have signed up to attend our Vacation Bible School this week. Bless our teachers and our staff with the ability to teach your word well and to give these young children the encouragement of the good news, the gospel of salvation, through Jesus their Savior. You have promised that your word that goes out from your mouth will not return empty, but rather it will accomplish whatever you please and it will succeed in the purpose for which you sent it. Therefore, we pray that you would cause that powerful, life-giving word to take root in their hearts, that they may know and believe in Jesus as their Savior and turn to him in every time of need. May this week be a joy and blessing to all who are involved. We thank you for all those who have given their time, their efforts and donations to make this Vacation Bible School possible. We thank you for giving safe travels to one of our volunteer teachers, and we pray that you give safe travel to our second teacher who is flying here this evening. We pray that you would bless their time among us this week, that you give us all good health, strength, and joy in serving you this week and always. Dear Heavenly Physician and Healer of our bodies and souls, we continue to pray for our brother Jerry, whose recovery from knee surgery is going slowly and has seemed to stagnate. Give him your strength, dear Jesus, and the hope of your promises during this time of discouragement. Give him the stamina, the dedication, and encouragement that he needs throughout his recovery. Be with him and his family and help them and all of us to be a blessing to him in any way that we can. Throughout this process, strengthen his faith in you. Remind him of your presence and your promises to always be with him and to work this and all these things out for his good. We continue to entrust him, body and soul, into your loving, saving hands. In your saving name we pray, amen. Dear Jesus, our leader and our good shepherd, by your continual presence, comfort us and cheer us in every journey we must make through the dark, shadowy valleys of this life. Satisfy us with the green pastures of your word, and there nourish our faith. Quench our thirst for righteousness with the refreshing streams of salvation. When we are oppressed on every hand by troubles, distress, temptations, sickness, sin, and heartache, teach us to turn our eyes of faith to you, our good shepherd, and to cast all our cares upon you. Answer our anxious cries, for only you know what is best for us. Refresh us with your help and guidance, with your protection and your healing. Especially when we walk through the valley of death itself, be with us, dear shepherd and overseer of our souls. Dispel the gloom that surrounds us with the bright promise of salvation, filling us with joy and confidence as one by one we journey from this life to heaven. Cause goodness and mercy to follow us the rest of our days. Hear us, merciful Savior and Shepherd, and hear us now as we pray in your name the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord, and we'll respond with a doxology. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Thank you. Please be seated. Our closing hymn for today is, "Oh, that the Lord would guide my ways." I invite you to stand for the last verse. Please be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
A warm welcome to all of you in the name of our Savior Jesus, and we welcome our guests and our visitors who are with us today. We invite you to sign our guest registry at the entryway of our church and invite you to come and worship our Savior with us again in the near future. There are several announcements for today and for this week. Following our service today, those who are volunteering for our Vacation Bible School this week are asked to meet with me and then the rest of the staff in the front of church for a brief meeting immediately after, or as soon after church as we can. We'll meet up here. We also in need of some volunteers to help with the kitchen restocking. If you've been in the fellowship hall the last couple of weeks, you notice that all the things from the kitchen were taken out because there was remodeling done of the cabinets and the floor in there. Today is the day we have to get it all back in there. So anyone that's able to stay and help with that, we would appreciate it. Meet with Grace or talk with Grace if you have questions. She's going to be heading that up in the fellowship hall after the worship service. Those who are meeting for the VBS meeting, if you'd like to then go in there and help with that afterwards, you're more than welcome to. I'll be heading up to East Bay for our worship service in Hayward at 1 p.m., Bible class at 2 p.m., that's this afternoon. This evening, we will have our teachers meeting for the Vacation Bible School teachers, and we'll set up our classrooms and get ready for that at 6 p.m. Our second teacher, my nephew Grant, is flying in, Lord willing, around 5 o'clock. Our other teacher, Sam Schmidt, is here. She is sitting in the same pew with her brother Isaac. If you get a chance to meet her and say hi and thank her for her service this week, please do so. There's a sign-up sheet for the snacks and lunches this week. It's mostly filled up, but take a look at that. If you have anything you'd like to bring, please do fill out that sheet. We're still accepting donations for some of the sightseeing this week, if you'd like to give to that. A big thank you to all who helped with the number of projects that have been going on over the past few weeks. There is the kitchen remodeling. Thank you to the ladies for all their work with that, and to Michael Harillo and his crew for the cabinets. And they redid the front door as well. You might have noticed that door looks a little shinier and new. Be very careful and don't touch the wood, we're told, for a few days at least. So just touch the handles. It's going to swing out real quickly because some of the hardware has to get put back on once it's fully dry. So no touching the wood today on the door, but it should be good for this week. And also thank you to Scott for the work on the tiling in the hallway. It looks really, really nice. And I said, boy, it looks nice and bright. And it actually looks longer than it's nice and bright. And when he goes, oh, it definitely seems longer. Laying all that tile was a big job. So thank you for all the work you did, Scott. Church picnic is next Sunday. There's a sign-up sheet in the entryway for that. Notice the change in location. It will be at Cuesta Park in Mountain View. The address is in the bulletin. There's a little map on the podium in the entryway as well to see where the location is and the picnic area where we'll be meeting. We are going to be having a voters meeting to fill our church council position that is going to be vacated by Scott when he moves. It's likely going to be instead on August 11th, not August 18th, as the bulletin said last week, because it's looking likely that August 11th will also be our joint congregational meeting and Lord willing, also our call meeting. So we're going to fit a lot of meetings into August 11th. I have to confirm this still with the folks in East Bay, but when we get all of that coordinated and ready, there will be announcements in the bulletin about our congregational and call meetings, likely to be August 11th. Any other announcements today? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.